So my sermon this evening, Christmas Eve 2020, we receive gifts of wonders and delight. 2020 Advent at Royal Oak Beloved Worshiping Community has been celebrated over the last 4 weeks. We started out the first week, I talked about participatory eschatology. Some of you may still be wondering, what was that? Eschatology is the study of the end times. The apocalypse is the coming back of Jesus. And participatory eschatology is when we bring the love of Jesus into this world by our actions, when our actions are gifts that we give to other people. We do it every day. I also talked about seeing the world with Advent eyes, seeing the world with hope and joy and looking for the love of God in this world and how that can change the way we act. I also asked the question last Sunday, Royal Oak Beloved Worshiping Community, do you know? Based on the song, Mary, Did You Know? We talked about Royal Oak. Did you know all the changes that would be happening this year and how God was working through you to bring his love and grace into this world? So all of these remind me of a quote by the Reverend Sarah York. Truly, one of my favorite quotes from a pastor. Her words, we receive fragments of holiness, glimpses of eternity, brief moments of insight. Let us gather them up for the precious gifts that they are, and renewed by their grace, move boldly into the unknown. On this Christmas Eve, we move boldly into so many unknowns in our world. COVID, financial insecurity, food insecurity, social injustice, racial injustice, political divisions, whether or not to have holiday gatherings. The list goes on. In our lifetimes, have we ever needed the good news of the birth of our Savior more than we need it now? But even in the darkest times, God always finds a way to love us and lift us and gift us. For example, just over 100 years ago in 1914, during World War I, there was a Christmas truce. This was a time when, in the middle of the fighting in the trenches, over 100,000 British and German soldiers stopped fighting. They climbed out of their trenches. They went into what had been no man's land. And they buried their dead. They sang Christmas carols. They lit cigarettes. They talked. They exchanged gifts of food. Truly, that was a Christmas gift from God. God is reminding us that even in the darkest times, God lights a candle of love. So tonight, let us celebrate the birth of God's baby boy with the story of a tragedy, the story of a mystery, the story of another tragedy, and the story of a continuing 95-year-old miracle. So, dear God, Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer, Father, Son, Spirit, please come into my mind and heart this evening. Talk to me, open me, teach me, use me, so the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart may lift up every member of our beloved worshiping community wherever they are. May your grace touch them, inspire them, and move them to bring your love into this world again and again. Amen. One of the more beautiful and moving hymns we have in any hymnal is called "It Is Well With My Soul." So I want to start off with a story of a tragedy. In 1871, Horatio Spafford was a prosperous lawyer and a devout Christian. He had a loving wife, Anna, and they were living with four young daughters in Chicago. But in October of 1871, rumor has it a cow kicked something over, and the great Chicago fire devastated the entire city. 90,000 people were left homeless. And so for the next 2 years, Horatio and Anna devoted their lives to working among the refugees of the fire, to make their lives better, to bring them gifts of support and housing and food. And so by November of 1873, the entire Spafford family needed some rest. And so they decided to join friends of theirs in Europe. But just before the departure, Horatio was detained on business. Horatio persuaded Anna and their four daughters to set off without him. He convinced them that he would be along shortly. But on November 21st, tragedy struck. The steamship they were sailing on sank after colliding with another ship in mid-ocean. The collision was so violent that the ship sank in less than 12 minutes. And over 260 people died in those frigid waters, including their four daughters. Anna tried to hold on to two of them, but they were swept away. Anna was knocked unconscious, and she was later found, one of only 27 survivors, floating on a piece of wood. Well, 9 days later, Anna finally landed in Wales, and she immediately sent a telegram to Horatio in Chicago. These six words are so tragic. The telegram said, "Saved alone. What shall I do?" Well, Horatio immediately set sail to bring Anna home. And the ship he was on, the captain, knowing of the family's tragedy, informed Horatio when the ship sailed over the spot where his daughters had died. And that night, in his grief, alone in his cabin, Horatio started writing these words, which became the hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul." Horatio wrote that hymn from his great faith in God. And we have the gift of that hymn today. And so once Horatio got Anna from Wales, they returned home. And Horatio and Anna were blessed with two more children. They had a son, Horatio Jr., and a daughter, Bertha. And yet tragedy struck again because Horatio Jr. died at the age of 3. But still, Horatio and Anna's faith remained strong. They still sought the Lord. They decided that they would make a pilgrimage to the Holy Land, to go to the places where Jesus lived and was born and died. In a letter to a friend, Horatio said these words, his words, "Jerusalem is where my Lord lived and suffered and conquered. And I too wish to learn how to live, how to suffer, and especially how to conquer." And so, 6 months after the birth of another daughter, so appropriately named Grace, the Spaffords and a few of their friends set off for Jerusalem, and they arrived there in September 1881. They bought a house. They set themselves up. They came to be known in Jerusalem as the American colony. Now, I said I was going to be sharing four stories with you this evening. I want to go to the story of a mystery. You see, one of the things they did as the American colony was they worked among the people. They taught, they shared what they had, they provided whatever assistance they could. They were avid photographers, and they took pictures after pictures after pictures. The archive of those pictures is a great resource now for historians of what life in Jerusalem was like pre-1900. And they set up a school. From the very beginning, they were known as a place of hospitality for all. In the city of Jerusalem, which had Jews and Christians and Muslims, all people were welcomed in their home. And so in the school that they set up and taught, they took pictures. They taught children of all ages. Now, I never knew any of this until about a year ago. I grew up in Asbury Park, New Jersey. Oh, Bruce Springsteen says greetings, by the way. And Asbury Park is next to Ocean Grove. And Ocean Grove was one of the big Methodist camp meeting places. There is a tabernacle, they call it a tabernacle, in Ocean Grove. It seats over 4,000 people. And so I was looking at the Ocean Grove Historical Society one day online, and I looked at a video they did where they were talking about orphans in Ocean Grove. And I saw this picture. And I stopped the video. And I called Sarah in. I said, "Sarah, look at this picture. What do you see?" And my wife, without any prompting at all, said, "That middle boy looks like you." You see, there is a picture in my family taken at the Bamberger's department store in the early 50s. As part of the beautiful child contest that my mother entered me into, that looks exactly like that young boy in that picture. And so I thought, what does this mean? This is a mystery. And I called up the Ocean Grove Society, a historical society. I asked them, tell me about these people. And they said that they had no idea who they were. They were doing a thing about the history of Ocean Grove. They needed a picture to stick in, and that's what they found on the internet. Which is when I did research and discovered that this was taken at the American colony in Jerusalem sometime around 1900. So you probably think I am crazy. However, I have proof of something, I'm not sure what. May we see the proof, please? Yes! Make your own decisions. But you see, that mystery got me started looking into the American colony. It got me started looking at Horatio and Anna Spafford. It got me started understanding where the hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul," came from. And I discovered that during World War I, when famine and plague ravaged the city of Jerusalem, the American colony, which was still thriving, operated a soup kitchen, provided aid for the poor, and ran hospitals that gave support and care to both sides of the conflict. The people of the American colony, here is the gift that they gave. They shared their faith by their good works. You know, they put into practice these words that have been attributed to St. Francis of Assisi. Notice I didn't say he said them. Attributed to him. He said, "Preach the gospel always. Use words when necessary." Yeah, we can wipe the picture off. That's enough. So handsome. All right. So after World War I, let's fast forward to Christmas Eve. Christmas Eve of 1925. Horatio and Anna's daughter, Bertha. You remember Bertha? Okay. Bertha Spafford was an adult. She was married. And she was hurrying home from Jerusalem to join her husband and children so they could go to Bethlehem, where they were going to lead the first ever carol singing that was being held in the field where the shepherds watched their flock at night. What an amazing way to spend Christmas Eve. God had other plans. As she was hurrying home, she encountered a Bedouin man. And he told her that he had traveled for 6 hours with his sick wife and their newborn baby on a donkey. They had traveled for 6 hours to go to the hospital in Jerusalem. And they had found that the hospital in Jerusalem was closed to new patients because of Christmas. And so Bertha Spafford, whose family had known such tragedy, heard them and said later on, "Here before me stood a poor mother and baby, similar to the plight of Mary and Joseph, and there was no place for them." And so, using her contacts, Bertha was able to get the woman admitted to the hospital that evening. The tragedy that I mentioned, the second one, is that by morning, that young mother was dead. And so the next day, the husband came with his newborn baby to Bertha and begged Bertha to keep the child. He said, "If I take my baby boy to my cave, he will surely die." And so Bertha took the baby. Bertha named him Noel, hired a nurse, and established them in the house where the American colony had first settled. And you know how God works. Within a week, Bertha had been asked to take in 2 more orphaned babies. And here is the miracle that I mentioned. The Spafford Children's Center was born. 95 years later, it has developed into a children's hospital with 60 beds and a surgical wing. It remains a Christmas gift to thousands of babies and children and mothers and fathers. It remains a lighted candle of God's love, a 95-year-old miracle and gift from God. So, beloved Royal Oak worshiping community, let us go back to those words of Reverend Sarah York. Please hear carefully. We receive, you see, each one of the people in the stories that I talked about this evening, they received fragments of holiness, glimpses of eternity, brief moments of insight. So let us gather them up for the precious gifts that they are, and renewed by their grace, let us now move boldly into the unknown. Royal Oak, beloved worshiping community, wherever you are all part of us. And wherever you are called to bring the love of God's candle of light and grace and love into this world, this year. And we pray all this and give thanks for all this and we give praise for all this in the name of Jesus, this sweet baby boy. Amen.